Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can open them to Philemon chapter 1. We took a little break from our series last week in lieu of Mother's Day, but today we're jumping back into our series through the Bible titled The Bible, A True Story. If you've been with us, you know that we've been on a crazy journey through the Bible for 4 years now, okay? Crazy, right, when you think about it? Now, again, that 4 years, we take breaks for Christmas series and we have guest speakers and sometimes other different directions that God takes us along the way. But I actually went back because I was like, how long has it actually been? I went back and I realized that we started this series in March of 2018, okay? Crazy, right? March 4th, to be exact. And the crazy thing is the fact that this isn't even a book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter walk through the Scriptures. If it was, we probably would still be back in, you know, I don't know, Joshua, Judges or something, maybe, I don't know. But this isn't that kind of series. It's really an overarching look at the Bible with the main intent of just discovering who God is and really who God has always been, right? And then who He desires us to be. The Scriptures reveal to us who He has called us to be. And so each week I really do my best to decrease so that the Lord can increase and lead me to the chapters and verses that He wants to share. Not what I want to share, but that He wants to share. And so this week I knew that the Lord was leading me to the next book of the Bible. We had been in Titus, and so He was leading me to the next book of the Bible, which is the book of Philemon. And man, the difficult question is, what chapter am I going to share from? And if you're laughing, it's because you know that there's only one chapter in the book of Philemon, right? There's just one chapter, so it was pretty easy. I know the chapter. And there are only 25 verses. Philemon is actually the third shortest book in the Bible when it comes to by words, behind 2 John and 3 John. But today we're going to do something that we haven't done the 4 years of this series. We are going to actually go through an entire book of the Bible verse by verse, okay? And so before we do though, let me give you a little background here on the book of Philemon. It is another letter that was written by Paul, and there were different letters written by Paul to specific churches, but also to specific people or pastors or leaders. And so this is one of Paul's books that was written to a specific person, to a man named Philemon. That's why it's called Philemon. Now, Philemon was actually a slave owner from Colossae who had become a follower of Jesus because of Paul's missionary work in Ephesus. And we know from this letter that Paul and Philemon had actually partnered together in ministry at some point. And we know that Philemon, at the time of this letter, he hosts a church in his home back in Colossae. And we know that he was a very well-respected leader in the church. And Paul is actually writing this letter on behalf of a man named Onesimus. Now, Onesimus was actually one of Philemon's slaves who had apparently stolen some stuff from Philemon and then who actually ran away from him. And somehow Onesimus meets Paul, right, who actually led him to Christ. Now, we are unsure if Paul knew Onesimus maybe when he worked with Philemon or if he had led him to the Lord and discovered the connection later. We're not sure. But either way, we know that Paul led Onesimus to Christ. And he had been there with Paul in Rome, serving him and helping him. And so this letter to Philemon is Paul sending Onesimus back and encouraging Philemon to forgive Onesimus, to take him back, not as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. And so if you have your Bibles this morning, you can follow along. We're going to read the entire book of Philemon right here, right? 25 verses. This is what it says, starting in verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. There we go. Entire book of Philemon. Now, as we read this letter, you can't help but wonder Philemon's response, right? To have someone you love and respect, right, Paul, challenge you to do something that you know is Christ-like, but that is also very difficult. As we read through this letter, we discover that Paul is a great example of what God desires from his followers. And as I read and reread through the book of Philemon, I think there are some things here that we see in Paul that are very Christ-like. Things that God really desires of us. And so I want to point out three things that I see in Paul that I think God desires from all of us as followers of Christ. And so the first thing I see is this. Number one, God desires us to be a friend to others. Now, Onesimus was a slave who had stolen from his master Philemon and then ran away. And so I think it's important for us to understand the culture of slavery in these times. Because in these days, the Roman Empire was built on slave labor. I read that 85% of Rome's population were slaves. And it went from your normal workers all the way up to doctors were considered slaves. Every time the Romans conquered a new province, they added new slaves to their empire. And slavery was not based just on ethnicity. Some people became slaves to actually pay a debt or to pay their parents' debt. It was really all about money and power. And for some, slavery was actually a blessing, as their master provided food, clothing, and shelter that they may not have otherwise had. But for others, it wasn't such a good thing. It was horrible. It really was dependent upon the slave owner. Because the fact is, as a slave, you were no longer considered a person. You were the property of the person that owned you. And because of this, Roman law provided very little protection for slaves. And to keep slaves from running away, the law specifically provided owners the right to kill slaves that had run away. And so here we have Onesimus, right, who is not only a slave that has run away, but he also stole from his master. He stole from Philemon. And what does Paul do? He loves on Onesimus, right? He reaches out to him. He befriends him. Now, if you've been here for any length of time, if you were here this morning and if you were listening, you've heard me say that we were created for relationship, right? Relationship with God and relationship with others. God desires for us to love others, to be a friend to all, right? We pray with our kids every before we go to school, and I remember when we went, especially when they were younger, we used to, one of the things I would pray, Lord, help them today to be a friend to all, right? Because that's what God desires of us, that we would be a friend to all. And when I say that, be a friend, I'm not talking about a Facebook friend, okay? Right? I'm not talking about the superficial kind of friendship that really doesn't mean anything. I'm actually talking about being a John 15 kind of friend. Let me read to you from John chapter 15. Listen to what Jesus says in John 15, 12 through 13. He says this, "This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend." For their friends. And a few verses later, Jesus goes on to tell us that he considers us as his friends. And what did he do? He gave up his life for us. This is the kind of friendship that we see here from Paul with Onesimus. It's not a superficial relationship. Paul genuinely cares about this man, a sinner who's made some pretty big mistakes, right? But you see, a friend doesn't focus on the mistakes. A friend looks beyond the mistakes. A friend focuses on the potential. A friend focuses on the person. A friend looks beyond the flaws and shortcomings and sees the person that's hurting, the person that's struggling, who really just needs a friend, who needs someone to reach out to them and love them in the midst of their mess. We're reminded in Romans 2:4 that it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. Now, we don't know how Paul and Onesimus' paths crossed, but they did. They crossed, and Paul showed him love and kindness and compassion, and it led to Onesimus being willing to go back to Philemon and actually deal with the mistakes he made. And Paul's love and friendship was so great that he said he was willing to pay for Onesimus's mistakes. In verses 18 and 19, Paul says, "If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back." These are the words of a friend, someone who is willing to lay down their life for another. Paul was an amazing example of being a friend here. And I believe God desires for all of us to be friends to others. And then the second thing I think we can learn from Paul here is this. God desires us to forgive others. If you were to read this letter and give just a one-word definition to describe what this letter was all about, I think that one word would be forgiveness. That's what this whole letter is about. It's about forgiveness. Now, forgiveness is one of those words that we long to hear when we're the one that failed, right? We love forgiveness when we're the one that's messed up, when we're the one that's failed, but it's also one of those words that we don't like to hear when it means we're the one that has to forgive, right? Especially someone that's wronged us in a horrible way. Paul knows that Onesimus had messed up, right? He had made a mistake. He knows that he had actually committed a crime by stealing from Philemon and then by running away. But Paul also knew that he was a changed man, and Paul believed that he deserved a second chance. And I'm guessing that Paul was a little more gracious and willing to give second chances because of the grace that he had been given. In case you had forgotten or perhaps weren't even aware, Paul used to be known as a guy named Saul, right? A man who actually hunted Christians, right? He hunted down Christians and he either had them killed or thrown in prison. But then Jesus, back in Acts, we read that Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, right? And what did he do? He gave Paul a second chance. And Paul came to realize that God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth and so on and so on. That really God's desire is to pull people out of their sin and to bring redemption to their lives. You see, if sin and failure disqualifies us from the life that God has for us, then we're all in trouble. Right? We'd all be disqualified. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of the Lord. But Jesus died on the cross. Why? So that we could all be forgiven. And as people who have experienced God's grace and forgiveness in our lives, we are called to show that same grace and forgiveness to others. And as Paul writes this letter, he knows that Philemon has every right by Roman law to actually have Onesimus killed, executed for his crime. But Paul, as it says in verse 9, appeals to him on the basis of love, right? He hopes that Philemon remembers the fact that Jesus forgave him and that in return, he should forgive Onesimus. You know, I'm often asked how I can be so gracious with people. Because as imperfect as I am, I can tell you, I am imperfect, I make mistakes, I screw up all the time. But I think my ability to extend grace is actually one of my strengths. And I think it stems, though, from the reality of my own failures. I know that there were a lot of things I did in secret growing up that weren't of the Lord. And because of that, I actually fell pretty hard when I was in the Marine Corps. And I did a lot of things that I'm not proud of. But God loved me enough to put people in my path that loved me in the midst of my failure. People who befriended me and showed me God's grace. And as someone who has experienced such amazing grace, I can't help but extend that grace to others. Because I know I was once them. I still am, right? I'm no different than that person. And without that grace and forgiveness, I can tell you I would not be up here today, right? And I think if we want to be people who learn to be gracious, if we want to be people who learn to forgive others, we have to realize the grace that has been given to all of us. The forgiveness that we have experienced in our own lives. We have to understand that our sin, right, is no different than the next person's. Sometimes as Christians, we think our sin isn't as bad as their sin, right? But our sin is no different than the next person's. All sin is the same in the eyes of the Lord. God has forgiven all of us. And He desires us to forgive others in the same way. And then the last thing that I think we can learn from Paul is this. God desires us to bring hope to others. Now, there are a couple ways we see Paul bring hope to Onesimus here in these scriptures. The first is the greatest hope, right? A hope in Christ. As Paul references that Onesimus is no longer just a slave, he is a brother in the Lord. He now has the same hope that both Paul and Philemon have, an assurance of eternal life in and through Jesus, because Paul led him to the Lord. But then Paul gives him a hope of a new future and life still on this earth, right? As I mentioned earlier, Philemon had Onesimus' future in his hands, right? He could have had him killed. He could have had him executed for what he did. Or, as Paul was pleading for him to do, he could forgive him and actually make him a free man and allow him to then partner with him and Paul in the ministry. In verse 11, Paul actually does a little play on words with Onesimus' name as he references the actual meaning of the name Onesimus. Because the name means useful. That his name, Onesimus, actually means useful. And in verse 11, Paul says, "Once he was useless to you, but now he is Onesimus. Now he is useful to both you and me." Paul knew that Onesimus could have a bright future if Philemon was willing to forgive him and take a chance on him, to give him that second chance. And I'm sure Paul was encouraging Onesimus by sharing his own story with him, right? Of how God had changed his life and how he was now being used in ways that he never imagined. I talked earlier about how I fell in the Marine Corps. And the crazy thing is that I went into the Marines with this idea of earning money to go to Bible college. Because my junior year in high school, I felt like God was calling me to be a youth pastor. But I didn't have money for college, and so I decided I was going to go in the Marine Corps to get money for college. But after I fell in the Marine Corps, I had kind of just come to the conclusion that I had ruined that opportunity to be a youth pastor. But on a night after a friend had seen me coming out of a place I shouldn't be, right? Some of you have shared that story. I was coming out of a place I shouldn't be. I was in my car thinking I was cool, you know, I'm 21, got a cigarette in my hand thinking I'm something, you know, in my car, and this jogger is coming down the road, and this is late at night. Who would be out jogging at midnight? I don't know. And I think I'm just going to be cool and look like a cool dude coming out of this place I shouldn't be. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh my gosh, I know that dude. He works with my sister, with Campus Life, and he's kind of a youth pastor. And I'm like, oh crud, I hope he doesn't recognize me. And I like turned around, pretend like I was looking for something in the back of my car, right? But he saw me. And a little while later, he called me and said, "Hey Darren, could we get some breakfast maybe?" No, I don't have time. I'm leaving in a few days. But no, I went and had breakfast. And he just loved me. And he asked me about that night and where I came out of and the decisions I had been making. And I kind of began to just share with him how I had failed and how I had kind of ruined my chances of being a youth pastor. And I remember him looking at me and telling me, "That's a lie of the enemy, Darren. We serve a God of redemption, a God who can restore your failures." And by the end of that breakfast, he had instilled in me a new hope of who God had called me to be, right? I'm the same Darren that he called to be a youth pastor back in my junior year of high school. Yeah, have I made some mistakes? Yes, but I'm the same person that God had called me to be, and he instilled in me this new hope. And I left for my duty station a few days later. And I immediately that night, it was a Wednesday night, and I found a church that happened to have a Wednesday night service. That night I saw this beautiful girl across the way who later became my wife, but that was a whole different thing. But I got involved with the youth group, helping with the youth group a couple weeks later, and in less than 3 months I was asked to be the associate youth pastor at that church while I was still serving in the Marine Corps. God was restoring my life. And it all started with a friend who reminded me of God's forgiveness and the hope of second chances. One of the cool things was that friend planted a church 2 years later. After that breakfast, it was about 2 years almost to the day. 3 years after that breakfast, I became his middle school youth pastor after getting out of the Marine Corps and going back home. All because he believed that God could change me and use me for his glory. And that's what Paul was doing here for Onesimus. He was letting him know the hope that all of us have in Jesus. Not just the eternal hope, but the life that God has for us here on earth. We weren't just saved from, we were also saved for. And God has a plan for all of our lives, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future, just like Jeremiah, right? Now, it'd be nice if we knew how Philemon responded in this letter. If there was a response to this letter, but there isn't. There is nowhere in the scriptures that it says anything more about the book of Philemon, anything more about him being talked about or Onesimus. But there is a letter written to the Ephesians 50 years later by a church leader named Ignatius. And this letter was addressed to a bishop named Onesimus. And the wording of that letter was very interesting as it referred to Onesimus as the one who formerly was useless to you, but now has become useful both to you and to me. The leader who wrote this letter used the exact same Greek words that appeared in verse 11 of Philemon, which leads us to believe that Philemon listened to Paul and that the hope they put in Onesimus helped him become a great leader, become the bishop of the church there. Bringing hope to those who have struggled or who are struggling can do amazing things for their future. If Pastor Sean McCartan had seen me come out of that place I shouldn't have been and simply say, well, there's another young man just screwing up his life, where would I be today? I wouldn't have ended up at that church. I wouldn't have met my beautiful wife. Who knows where I would be? His willingness to be a friend, his willingness to show God's forgiveness, and his willingness to encourage me and bring hope literally changed my life. He did for me what Paul did for Onesimus, and it wasn't, or it is, what God desires of all of us. I don't think Sean had any idea the impact that day would have on the rest of my life. And the reality is, we never know how our friendship, how our forgiveness, or how our hope in others is going to change their lives. We don't know that. But let's be people who simply seek to do these things and who look forward to the lives that God is going to change because of it. Amen? And let me just say this. We can never forsake the power of one. Right? Who is that one that God is calling us to be a friend to right now? Who is that one that God is telling us to forgive? Who is that one that God is calling us to bring hope and encouragement to? Because God desires to use us to change lives in the same way he used Paul, in the same way he used Pastor Sean in my life. God wants to use us to change lives. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for just the example that Paul is. When we look at his life, especially in this letter, Lord, just the things that he did, the fact that he loved all. Paul was the one that began to take the gospel to the Gentiles, Lord, realizing that we all need a Savior. Paul was a friend to those that many people wouldn't have been friends to. Paul forgave people that many people wouldn't forgive. He brought hope to people that many people would think there was no hope for. And because of that, lives were changed. Because of that, we have the scriptures that we have today. Because of that, we have the opportunity to gather and to lift up your name, the name that is above all names. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what you want to speak to us through your word. May our hearts be open to hear, Lord. Because for some of us, Lord, this morning, you're wanting to encourage us and give us hope of a future that we can have in you. But for some of us, you're encouraging us to be people who help give that hope, who speak that hope into other people's lives, Lord. And so, Lord, may we have our hearts, our minds, our ears open to how you want to use us, Lord. Where do we fall in this story? What is it that you're speaking to us this morning? May we receive these things, Lord. May we be different because of what you are speaking to us this morning. May we not hear this message and turn around tomorrow forgetting what you said, but may we be changed individuals because of what you're doing in and through us, the challenges that you're bringing to our lives, Lord. We want to seek you with all that we are. We want to experience you in our lives. And so we thank you for this morning. Open our hearts, open our ears, open our minds to be the men and women of God that you've called us to be. And Lord, if there's anybody in this room today that looks at their life and says, man, I messed it up, I screwed it up, I've got no future or hope, I say that's a lie of the enemy. Because we serve a God of restoration. We've seen it throughout the scriptures. I've seen it in my own life, Lord. Help us to grab hold of that restoration you have for us. We thank you for these things. We give these things to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.